the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Last week, I saw a news story that simply stopped me in my tracks, and I wrote about it at albertmohler.com, an article entitled, Aborting the Wrong Baby? There's a question mark at the end of that question. It has to do with the news story that came out of Florida. Dr. Matthew Kachinas had been stripped of his medical license last week by a Florida Medical Review Board for, and this is how the media discussed it, for aborting the wrong baby. It's one of those things that immediately catches your attention because something huge is going on in this story. And a part of the story is not just what happened, but how the media and the culture at large is understanding what happened. The setup is this. There was a woman in Florida who had twins. She was carrying twins. One of those twins was diagnosed as having Down syndrome and what was thought to be a congenital heart defect. The mother decided, that is, the woman decided to abort that baby. Technically, when it's done in the midst of pregnancy, where one baby is going to be aborted and another one is going to be allowed to gestate, it's referred to as a selective reduction. In other words, you are selecting one of those babies and reducing the population of the womb. Well, this medical doctor lost his license because, according to the media and evidently according to medical authorities in Florida, he bore responsibility for aborting the wrong baby. And by the wrong baby, they meant evidently it was rightful in their view to abort the baby that had Down syndrome, but it was wrong to abort the wrong baby. Instead of performing the abortion on the baby with Down syndrome, it was the other baby that was aborted, the one that is defined in the media stories as the healthy twin. Sadly and tragically, the situation was made all the more horrifying by the fact that the baby with Down syndrome was later aborted as well. You can imagine the lawsuits flying around about this, but it's the legal and medical proceeding that caught my attention. I wrote about it because I started looking at the media once I heard the story, and story after story, headline after headline, it was all about aborting the wrong baby. You realize what that implies? That implies that it was right to abort the baby with Down syndrome. Well, folks, if you've been listening to this program, you know that it is well documented in the United States now that approximately 90% of all babies prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome are not being aborted. This means that we are now using modern medical technologies, not only ultrasound, but now pre-implantation diagnostics and genetic testing, all these prenatal tests. We're using these tests now to launch search and destroy missions in the womb. And this tells us who we are as a people because it tells us a great deal about what we understand about human life. We are now consumers of human beings. That's what we are. That's what the parents are now put in the position of saying, this baby we'll accept, that baby we will not. They're using a consumer mentality when it comes to the gift of human life. What's being denied in this? Well, what's being denied is the fact that every single human being is the image bearer of God, that every single human life is a divine gift, and that it is our responsibility to stand up for, to protect, and to guard the sanctity of every single human life from the moment of conception till natural death. But we're now in a situation in which we're saying, okay, if the baby has Down syndrome, we won't accept it. And just realize what's really at stake here. What's at stake is what it means to be human in our own self-estimation. We are now defining humanity down to an acceptable set of human beings and an acceptable set of human characteristics and an acceptable set of human abilities. You lack those abilities. You lack this particular feature. You lack this particular aspect of what we demand. And, well, you're out of here. And in the womb, it's just so easy. It's easy unless it goes wrong. And this one went wrong. The media say the wrong baby was aborted. I wrote the article because I was so concerned about what this story tells us about not just this doctor, not just this mother, not just the medical authorities, but what it says about ourselves, and not just about our culture, what it says about all of us. Because Here's what haunts me. I wonder how many people reading that headline, doctor stripped of medical license for aborting the wrong baby, I wonder how many people seeing that headline thought, well, that makes sense. In other words, how far down the road toward redefining humanity have we gone that the logic of aborting the right baby, quotation marks around the word right, versus the wrong baby, quotation marks around the word wrong, how far down that road are we going? My fear is that so far as the media are concerned, it's perfectly understandable to the American people what the issue is. I think we've got to be very clear the issue is something else. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We need to talk about this. You can find my article at albertmuller.com. And this is the place where we're going to discuss what it means for us to be in the position of now having a vocabulary where it makes sense to talk about aborting the wrong baby. We'll be to that in just a moment. First, to review some issues in the news. Today marks the 15th anniversary of the terror attack on the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. That particular bombing took 168 lives, many of them children, by the way. That's often forgotten as people look back to the Oklahoma City massacre. A good many of those were in a daycare center there in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in downtown Oklahoma City. I was there just about 24 hours after the bombing, and I was there on the scene. I'll tell you, it was one of the most frightening things I have ever seen, because it was clear that this was a malevolent, intentional act, and at this point, it was not known who did it, but it was thought to be domestic terrorism. And I can remember people saying, this must be as bad as it gets. Just remember, this is the 15th anniversary, so we're looking back in 1995, just 6 years later, there would be two massive towers in Manhattan that would fall, not by domestic terrorism, but still by terrorism. It's a reminder to us of the evil in the human heart. And you know, when you see it like this, when you see it in a building of this devastation, or you go now to Oklahoma City, you see the memorials, all those empty chair-like structures reminding us of the people who had been in that building who were killed. You go and right now, they're building reflecting pools out of the foundation boundaries of the two World Trade Center towers. You look at that and you are reminded of the depravity of the human heart, of the propensity of human beings to commit horribly evil acts. And yet, I just want to remind you, even as today, I would encourage you to be very much in mind of the people, especially in Oklahoma City. There are many grieving families. These anniversaries are always very difficult, and especially when you consider parents who are considering children who now would be 15 years older than the preschoolers they were when they were left in that center in Oklahoma City. You can imagine their grief, and I would encourage you to remember that grief today. Pray for those folks. But remember, the human evil we have most greatly to fear is that which we cannot see. What we see is horrifying. We turn our face away from it and its ugliness. But the really scary thing is that the greater danger is that which we cannot see. Fascinating stuff out there in the news. I'll tell you, the big controversy over the prom in New Jersey is one that has my attention because, once again, it tells us something about who we are as a people. It tells us something about where we have progressed as a culture. If you've been following this news story, I have to say, hats off to this school board in Pearl River, New York. I said New Jersey because it's taking place there as well. There in Pearl River, that's in Rockland County outside of Manhattan, the local high school, Pearl River High School, has scheduled the senior prom for a Wednesday night. No, excuse me, it's a Sunday night. The junior prom is on a Wednesday night. The senior prom is scheduled for June the 6th. That's a Sunday. And you know why they're doing it? They're doing it so the kids have to be in school the next day. Not only do they have to be in school the next day, they're going to have exams the next day, some serious schoolwork. And not only that, but if they miss or are late on that day, they don't get to walk at graduation. You know, the reality is that the high school proms become something of a bacchanalia, so just an out-of-control kind of thing. You know, many of these students, including, by the way, the son of the most recent PTA president, had been cited for being drunk after the last prom. So the schools are trying to do something. And I don't know whether the schools are trying to do this because they feel some kind of moral impulse or simply the fact that they fear litigation and being sued. But nonetheless, they're trying to do something. Here's what's really interesting. The kids don't like it. I figure that you knew that already. You know, the kids had their plans. They wanted on a weekend so that they don't have to worry about being in school the next day, and that, you know, there's no telling what they had planned. But what really tells me a great deal about where we are as a people is the fact that there are so many parents who are saying, this isn't fair. This is a major rite of passage, and you are robbing my child of a major rite of passage. You know, years ago, I heard a secular psychologist say that a good many of the problems in America were caused by parents who didn't have the adolescence they wanted, and they'll do everything they can to try to make sure their kids have the adolescence they think they didn't have. Okay, folks, that's scary enough. But what we have here are parents who are complaining about a school trying just to put some basic parameters on a prom with safety in mind for their kids. It tells you a great deal about where we are as a culture, and it tells you that we are indeed, as one book recently had in its title, we are becoming a nation of no grown-ups at all. The phone number to join the conversation about the question of aborting the wrong baby is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is one of those stories in which the press coverage tells us as much about ourselves as the originating event. The originating event is horrifying. A doctor in Sarasota, Florida, aborted what is defined in the media and by a medical board there in Florida as the wrong baby. A woman was carrying twins. A prenatal diagnosis indicated a healthy twin and a twin with Down syndrome. She decided to abort the twin with the Down syndrome. Instead, the doctor accidentally aborted the other baby. And just to use the language that is found in the media coverage, the healthy baby was aborted rather than the one with defects. And then later that one was aborted as well. But the doctor lost his medical license for aborting, quote, the wrong baby. This tells us so much about where we are as a people. We are now consumers of human life. We have some basic expectations of a baby. If the baby doesn't meet those expectations, then we'll reject the baby prenatally. Just abort the baby. And don't you think for a moment that it'll stop with Down syndrome. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Temple Terrace, Florida. Larry's listening on WTBN. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, special honor, Dr. Mohler. Now you are a national spokesman as much as anybody for the kingdom and for our culture. Sanctity of life and combined with the importance of God-ordained family, you know, that is the foundation of our society. And I've said it to everybody I know, you know, that's more important than oil in the Middle East or the economy or anything, because that's the foundation of everything else. You know, what if we have everything and lose our own soul?
Yeah.
It makes it interesting because Mother Teresa said, what is left of Western civilization if a mother would take the life of her own child? And you're breaking the sixth commandment on top of that. But, you know, another throw this in, too, for what it's worth, Department, Dr. Mohler, the Nebraska law that may go to the Supreme Court. Of course, then you get into the political context of how important is the next justice and all these things, which is for another show. But, you know, all of this intertwines in such an important way. And you've said it over and over that our culture, you know, the kingdom culture is so different than the world culture. And it's disparaging. You know, the longer we go in our society, the more that we've seen it. And I'll just say one more thing. Having graduated way back in 62, where did those years go? We were under the Bible and prayer in public school, yes. And so, you know, and once we got away from that, is it really surprising of what's happened in our society? I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
You know, Larry, it is a fascinating question you ask. You look back to the past and just our lifetimes and think about all of the change that has taken place. And I was told by my staff here, you and I got some links going back even to Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida, and being Boy Scouts together. You look at that and you realize the world we knew then. And I'm so glad to hear from you now. You think about the world we knew then. It was a different world. You know, my kids, this is what's really interesting. My children find the world I grew up in to be absolutely fascinating. They just can't imagine a world in which a kid, you know, my age, 10 or 11 years old at the time, could get on a bicycle and just ride across town to one grandparent's house, then ride across town to the other grandparent's house, where we could just, we just, it was a different world. And now we're looking at, it's like the old proverb says, the chickens have come home to roost. They really have. In other words, worldviews have consequences. And the worldview shift in this culture has consequences like the one we're talking about right here. And when you start thinking about how we now redefine human life and human dignity in postmodern America, saying that it makes sense to abort a baby diagnosed with Down syndrome is just the start. You know, we're told right now, by the way, that these genetic tests are going to be able to tell parents the hair color, eye color. the likely height, the likely weight, likely IQ of babies. I guarantee you, once that happens, it's going to be, for many parents, the process of having a child is going to be like buying a car. This is what we want. This is what we'll settle for. This is what we really would like. And it is just horrifying to think about that. Because as you and I know, most human beings, let's just put it bluntly, all human beings fall short of any adequate standard. As a matter of fact, what the Bible says is that every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. But you know what? Even beyond our own self-estimation, when we try to think about that, the reality is that every one of us has defects. I mean, even ones that we can see. Every one of us has shortcomings. Every one of us has temptations. Every one of us is subnormal. And when it comes to defining normal by the kinds of consumer interests that we would have, it's a very, very sad day. And by the way, I've mentioned this on the program. It's one thing now. It's two things tomorrow. It's three things after that. And the list goes on. It is feared right now by many in the autism community that if indeed by the end of this year, as some are predicting, there will be a genetic test to indicate a predilection to autism, well, then there go the autistic babies prenatally aborted. Because parents are simply going to say, if I've got a choice, I'm not going to choose that. And this tells us a great deal, not only about what we have done in defining humanity down, it tells us a great deal about how we have defined our own sovereignty up. We now think that we have the right, the sovereign right, to make such determinations, to make such choices. And so you not only have human dignity being defined down, you have human autonomy being raised up to some massively insane level. The phone number is 877-893-8255 in Louisville, Kentucky. Lucas is listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, I was just curious. A lot of people, when I read this article, I was reminded of those who speak against the death penalty with the risk of killing the wrong man. And I'm just sort of curious what those people think in this instance, because how often is medical diagnosis incorrect? And if they abort the wrong baby and the baby actually didn't have even the defects, even in an instance where they're not twins, if they abort the wrong baby because they actually had no of the defects that they thought were there.
Yeah, you know, Lucas, the talk of the link between abortion and the death penalty is sometimes a morally confusing thing, but the illustration you've raised is pretty clear, and that is this. You know, one of the grave issues that we would fear as a society, if we're going to take on the responsibility of execution, would be executing the wrong person. And you're right, there are many people who say that that's sufficient reason why there should be absolutely no death penalty. Well, if you're going to follow that logic, then, you know, you should have also no abortion. It's a logic that is illustrative. That's the best thing to do. It's not a clincher argument, but it is an illustrative logic. And sometimes that kind of logic helps us to understand a situation. What we have in the case of abortion is the fact that that no inhabitant of the womb deserves to die by any human agency. Not one, for any reason, ever. And that's why, once we consider what it means to surrender the high ground of that moral position, I've had several people listen to the program say, you're just presenting that as a moral absolute. Yes, that's absolutely true. It is a moral absolute. And by the way, if you for a moment begin to entertain the notion that human dignity is not an absolute, then guess what? You're following the same kind of logic as the Nazis, as those who defined at one point in this nation's history, African Americans is less human than others. Once you come up with a gradation of what it means to be human, well, guess what? Whatever group's coming up with the grade system puts themselves at the top and then works downward to whatever they consider to be inferior. For the Nazis, let's just remember, it was a long catalog. The Jews were front and center in that. But added to the Jews were everything from Jehovah's Witnesses to homosexuals to gypsies, the Roma people. And then, of course, those who were physically considered to be defective, or those who had mental problems, those who had mental retardation or any kind of mental impairment. Yeah, the Nazis considered them worthy only of death and medical experimentation. And we look at that, and let me just tell you, that is the inherent logic of putting human dignity on an ascending and descending scale. The phone number is 877-893-TALK. Right back with more.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I wonder how many of you noted the same story. My guess is a good many of you saw what was happening. You saw the headlines and kind of scratched your head to wonder, what in the world is that all about? Well, what it's about is an incredible diagnostic test. And I know what you're thinking immediately. It's the diagnostic test that revealed that one of these babies was prenatally identified as carrying the markers of Down syndrome. No, I'm talking about the diagnostic test of the morality of the American people, where we really are in terms of our common worldview. That is the worldview common to the culture. You know, first of all, we are all those that individually possess a worldview. But communally, we also share in what's described as certain cultural commitments, the postmodernists love to call it a cultural linguistic system of meaning and metaphor and morality and myth. The reality is that around us there's a common mind. And that mind is revealed in our entertainments, it's revealed in our laws, it's revealed in popular culture, it's revealed in our consumer choices. It's revealed in of course, the media in a big way. Because let me tell you, I've been on all sides of this media equation. I've been a newspaper writer, newspaper editor. And when you're putting out a headline, you're putting out a headline that you think is going to do two things. Headline 101. Here comes the rules for headline. Number one, make it interesting so that people read the story. And second, make it understandable so you don't look stupid. So here you have a newspaper editor, and not only one, many of them, including the wire services, putting out a headline saying doctor's license revoked for aborting wrong baby. The headline is supposed to be immediately understandable and interesting so that people will read the story. Well, my guess is a lot of people did read the story. They read the story about Dr. Matthew Kachinas there in Sarasota, who was stripped of his medical license for having aborted the baby identified as the wrong baby out of a set of twins. The other baby, that is the baby that was not aborted but was intended to be aborted, had Down syndrome. The baby that was aborted is identified as healthy. And what I'm talking about on the program today is what this says about us, and it requires us to do two things simultaneously. Number one, look at this situation with brutal worldview honesty. The brutal worldview honesty is our unflinching honesty in looking at this situation to say, here's what we've lost as a society. We've turned our back on the sanctity of every single human life, which means we are denying that every single human being is made God's image. It means that we are now assuming that every pregnancy is a tentative pregnancy, that every baby is a potential child to us, and that we are basically going to be consumers of children and of babies and thus of humanity as we are of everything else in this society. You know, the worldview of a consumer is very easy to understand. A consumer has certain needs and wants and desires that she will have met in a marketplace, she or he. And when it comes to babies, we're increasingly turning this into a marketplace. We've turned it already into a marketplace for gametes, for sperm and eggs. I was on a recent Ivy League campus. That is, I was recently on an Ivy League campus. And in the student newspaper, they had an advertisement for women who were willing to sell their eggs. Only it had to be young women of a certain IQ with preference for a certain height and athletic ability. So, and by the way, in sperm banks all over America right now, online and in print in some cases, you can find a catalog of donors. This is what they look like. Here's a man who has an IQ of this and this particular ability. He's been successful in business. He has, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes and is 6'2". And you can choose, well, that's who I'd like to be, the genetic father. And over here you have this and over here you have that. You know, scandalously in America, there is and has been a Nobel Prize sperm bank. So just in case you want to make sure that you are only buying reproductive cells from someone who actually won a Nobel Prize. And you look at that and you say, that's absolutely ridiculous. Well, let me tell you what's ridiculous. What is sad and horrifying is we live in a society in which so much of this already makes sense. If it didn't already make sense, we couldn't have these headlines. Let me tell you another place where this is very frightening. It's extremely frightening when you consider the actual sanction put forth by this medical review board. Here you have an official quasi-governmental agency. They have the power to either grant or to withdraw a medical license to practice medicine. And they made the decision that they would revoke this man's license for aborting the wrong baby. An atrocious act, they said. Carelessness reflects medical carelessness. Well, let's go beyond medical carelessness. Morally, what does this say about the practice of medicine, about the sanctity of human life, and about our complicity in this as a culture? The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. I've got callers on the line. You can be next. Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This whole story is heartbreaking, and yet, at a deeper level, the heartbreak is also over the story itself, over how this particular event has taken on public significance. A doctor aborting what's being called the wrong baby. It's tragic at every level, in terms of now two babies that were aborted in the womb. But what's really, really tragic is that a good many people in this society, perhaps even the society writ large, think it made perfect sense to abort the one that had the birth defect, but not the other. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Saxon, Pennsylvania. Vicky's listening on WTLR. Go ahead, Vicky.
Hi, I just think it's sad that she chose to do that. I am a mother of twin boys, and one of my boys does have Down's, and he has a great deal to offer. And it's just sad that she would choose to do that.
You know, I really appreciate your call, Vicky, at so many levels. And I'd like for you to stay with me if you can for just a moment. You know, you said something with credibility that only you could say, just in terms of your experience with your two boys and your own particular heartbreak over this story. And then you said something that so many of us know, and that is that our brothers and sisters with Down syndrome have much to give us. I want to make this point, and I want to have you the opportunity to expand upon it. We will be robbing ourselves of something important and precious to us when we decide we're simply going to eliminate from the human race those who have Down syndrome. There is something, not that they take away from us, but that they add to us. Now, you've had 14 years, I think, from what you said, in terms of mothering these twins, that this story must really hit very close to home for you. Can you just tell us what as a society would we be losing if indeed we follow down this road, Vicky?
Oh, they're very loving and very giving, and they're a joy. I mean, you could have a very bad day, and you come home, and they give you a hug. They just... I mean, I thank God for him every day and how healthy he is. It's just a blessing to have him. I don't know what life would be without him. And he teaches you patience and understanding.
Vicky so kindly said, and I have to tell you, it's worth doing the program today just to hear you say that. And, listening to your voice and those words, here's my thought, Vicky. We've got this news story, and then we have your testimony. And my guess is that anyone hearing your words is going to have in their ears your words drown out the logic of that news story. The sad thing is that news story was broadcast to millions and has deep roots within this society. We've got a lot of work to do. And Vicky, you're doing your part by sharing that with us in such a gracious and kind way. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you and God bless your family. And God bless that 14-year-old boy that brings you such joy. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Robert's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I have a son. He actually practices there at the seminary and with the Special Olympics swim team. And he's autistic, and he's such an integral part of our family. He's taught us how to love, how to care, how to be there for each other. And really, we got that from him. You know, so for a special needs child to be aborted because he's not normal or doesn't have the same capacities as someone normal, it's just a travesty.
Robert, I really appreciate your call. And if you'll forgive me, I want to press you just a little bit and ask a question. When you hear or read a news story like the one that is the focus of our conversation today, and you could imagine, let's just say that you and your wife had an opportunity to talk to this mom as she's anticipating making this kind of choice. Just given the logic that seems to be prevailing here that's so common in our culture, how do you think you would speak to her about the choice that she is now tempted to make?
Well, I would start by telling her that children are a blessing from God. All children are a blessing from God. And that all children, that I have five children, and every single one of them has blessed our lives. So I would start there.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense, Robert. And let me tell you, you said exactly what my instinct told me you would say. And now I'm going to go out on a limb and say something that I hope I can say carefully and clearly enough that I'll be understood. When you ask the question, why should we see value in every single human life, you're going to have to go exactly where you went. And that is not to the human being first, but to the Creator first. You're going to have to go first and foremost to the ground of human worth. And the thing from a Christian perspective we need to have in mind is that we are not the ground of our own worth, not the least among us, nor the one that we would consider the greatest among us. We are not self-defining creatures. Our Creator is the only competent evaluator of our worth and our dignity and His own handiwork. Now, Robert, let me tell you the bad news in that. The bad news in that is that we're living in an increasingly secularized society, and in a secular society, it is self-robbed of the ability to make an adequate affirmation of human dignity. In other words, once we move into a secularized space, we lack any adequate argument for human dignity in every single human being. And that's what's really sad here, but that's the trajectory we are following as a culture, and that is the end of this argument. The end of this argument is a fully secular society in which we turn human beings fully into consumer products and consumer goods. When we try to elevate human autonomy to the highest level where we will actually say, I'll accept this life, I'll not accept this other life, I'll accept this child, not that child, this baby, not that baby, here is my set of minimum qualifying characteristics I will settle for in a child. When we reach that point and we are headed there with the logic and with the technology, then, it's going to be one of those horrifying moments in human history when we realize this is exactly where godlessness leads. This is exactly where godlessness leads. This is a picture of the cities on the plain from Genesis. This is a picture of the moral rebellion that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. This is a picture of what human beings do when left to our own worldview devices. From a Christian perspective, it is so healthy and important we realize we're not smarter than the secular world. We're not more morally insightful or morally superior to the secular world. By God's grace, we know that there is indeed one God who has spoken in His Word. He has revealed His will to us. He has revealed human dignity to us. He grounds that dignity in Himself. And ultimately, He defines who we are by the redemption He accomplishes through Jesus Christ. What we're looking at here is the unraveling of a worldview. And folks, that is what must happen once you start to cut and eliminate everything that comes to us and can come to us only by the knowledge of God. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Word is that European air travel has begun once again, especially in Northern Europe, where the volcano in Iceland has led to the biggest travel disruption in human history. We had so many folks here for Together for the Gospel last week, and among them were Tim and Lucy Chapman and Mike Gilbart Smith. Mike is pastor of the Twineholm Baptist Church in West London, there in Great Britain. He and his wife Hannah have four kids, including a seven-week-old. Tim and Lucy have three kids. He's minister at Christ Church in South Cambridge. And those kids are being looked after by members of their church. Guys, you're here a little longer than you expected. We're a little together for the gospel a little longer than you expected.
We're delighted to be here. If we're going to be stranded anywhere in the world, delighted to be on Southern Baptist.
Okay, now what does something like this mean? I mean, a disruption on this scale. You know, this is not only unprecedented; it's hit very close to home for you.
Yeah, I mean, it means that we are not as in control of this world as we think we are. and we are in the hands of God, who knows what he's doing with volcanoes. He knows what he's doing with every single one of those 150,000 Brits and millions of other people who are not in the place they were expecting to be.
Now, you have some hope of getting out tomorrow, Mike, and we pray that, that will work out, and that you'll arrive home safely to your four kids. And Tim and Lucy, you're hoping to get out just a couple of days later. You know, when you look at this, you came over here for a conference. You left your children. You thought you'd be over a specified number of days. How are your kids handling this? I mean, are they learning some lessons as well?
My eldest daughter is perfectly happy. My youngest son is perfectly happy. I've got a son in the middle who's a little bit concerned. I'm missing you, Dad. I think they're learning a little bit more about how they appreciate their parents, and we're delighted to hear a little bit of sadness from at least one of our children that he's missing us.
Well, that's sweet. But, you know, let me tell you what struck me over the last couple of days. And that is this. It's looking at the news coverage and trying to get a handle to some personal experiences of people I knew. We are now living in a society in which it makes perfect sense to us to get on a pressurized tube with wings and fly across the Atlantic. But for at least a few days, we've been returned to the status of humanity before the arrival of the jet airplane. And it reminds me of, in this age, how providence, God's providence, has given us a means of transportation that we just come to take for granted.
And we're glad of the people we've met and the opportunities we've had for conversation that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
I'm glad I can still see my family by Skyping, which I couldn't have done.
No, there's the technology again. Well, you know, it's just a reminder to us that we're living in an age of such technological advancement. Even the ability to track the ash from this volcano that is going, and even the ability to try to communicate and keep everything going in the midst of a travel disruption. We think we're in control. I think Mike said it right. We find out we're not in control. And that goes back to where we were talking during this program today. We don't even get to define ourselves. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.